Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tvärkulturell.
Absolut interkulturalisch.
Absolutamente interkulturell.
Absolutely intercultural.
Welcome to show 220 of absolutely-intercultural.com, the podcast about all things intercultural. My name's Anne Fox, and this show is coming to you from Denmark. On our Absolutely Intercultural Facebook page, we recently reached the 700 likes milestone. So thank you for that. Our 700th liker could have been Cécile Saint-Espès, Laurent Quasimotol, or Celcela Aria. Thank you all. In this show, we're going to look at different types of exchanges, both study and work. So what effect does an exchange have on you?
And it was hard for me to approach, even to talk to strangers or anything, or make big presentations about in front of many people. But now I'm pretty good at that.
Yeah.
And many other things.
And what's the best way of preparing yourself to benefit from an exchange?
I have one saying that I made up during my exchange, and that is really important for me because I think that's a principle that every exchange student should follow, and that would be eyes open, ears open, hearts open.
Oh, that's nice. That's really nice. Do you have any examples of when you really learned something by applying that?
Well, every day, I would say. I wouldn't go through life and judge everything. Like, I wouldn't say, this American is doing something that I as a German cannot support, and so this is bad.
Mm.
Or I don't understand that, which means bad and not right.
Mm.
No, I would say what a typical AFS saying is, it's not better, it's not worse, it's different. And everything, if it has survived so long in that culture to do that thing, I think it has its justification to be there. So by having my eyes open, by having my ears open and my heart open, I could explore the other cultures and learn from them.
I really like that. So now let's go to our first segment. AIESEC is spelt AIESEC. And though it originally stood for Association Internationale des Étudiants en Sciences Économiques et Commerciales in French, AIESEC is now just a word to describe what was originally a student exchange organisation, but is now just simply a youth exchange organisation. Let's go Absolutely AIESEC and hear more about it from the current AIESEC president in Aarhus, Denmark, Arve Numiots, who is in Aarhus to study entrepreneurship and innovation and is originally from Estonia.
Can you tell us, what is AIESEC?
Well, AIESEC is the biggest youth organization in the world, and what we mainly do is we develop leadership through different experiences, mostly through cross-cultural exchanges, so either volunteering or internships, but also through our membership. So if you're a member of AIESEC, then we also develop leadership in you.
So it's not just limited to Denmark?
No, we're in about 126 countries plus territories.
What is AIESEC all about? I mean, why did it start?
Well, it started in 1948. It was actually, Denmark was one of the founding countries. So it was different young people from seven different countries. I cannot name them all right now, but it was also, I think it was Norway and Belgium and some other countries in Europe. And then, like, it all happened after the Second World War. So their idea was that they don't want any of these conflicts to happen again.
Mm-hmm.
So this is why they started this cross-cultural exchange for people to get an understanding of different kind of people. So this wouldn't happen anymore in the future.
And it's mainly students who are doing their graduate courses who join.
Yeah, it's like this is our only limit as being a member of AIESEC, and even going on exchanges, you need to be under 30. So the youth part, let's say.
Okay, so you don't even need to be a student?
No, not necessarily.
But most of them are?
Yeah. It used to be that it's for students, but then they changed it to only young people.
So when you arrived here from Estonia to start studying in Aarhus, what made you decide that you wanted to join AIESEC?
Well, I didn't really at first know anyone here, so I heard from some of my classmates that they're trying out to join ISEC. And then I was like, okay, I will just try as well. And then I joined and then I stayed.
Mm-hmm.
But mostly for to just meet new people.
Yeah. So you joined to meet new people, but presumably you got something else out of it.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Like, it's a lot about my self-development, which is one of the reasons why I stayed, because I can see the change in me, like, within these 3 years as well. I have changed a lot. I used to be really shy and not really be part of many things and just more stay by myself. And it was hard for me to approach, even just talk to strangers or anything, or make big presentations about in front of many people. But now I'm pretty good at that.
Yeah.
And many other things. Yeah, we also provide this program called Global Talent, which is professional internships. And what we do is we bring people from abroad to Denmark to have internships here. So this is where we call companies and try to explain that we're trying to help Danish companies by bringing talents that they don't have in Denmark enough, so they will can grow their businesses.
So you're bringing people from outside of Denmark?
Yes.
So you're not placing people who are already doing their studies here?
No, it's only like, that's the main point. Like, we don't, if you want to go on exchange, we don't allow you to go in Denmark.
Mm-hmm.
And the same from people outside, they need to go somewhere abroad.
So what sort of internships do people do?
People who come to Denmark, we mostly have IT, because this is something that Denmark really needs right now. It was somewhere in an article written that by 2030, Denmark will lack around 19,000 IT specialists, which is a big amount.
Yes.
So that's what we're explaining the companies, that we're not trying to really sell our product. We actually want to make a difference and help you out. But it's a bit of a struggle, because a lot of Danish companies, like, it's hard for them to take an international intern who doesn't speak Danish, because of the internal ways how they work and maybe Danish materials and so on.
People who haven't really thought about it before, if you say the word leadership, they think immediately, okay, that's a manager, somebody who tells you what to do. But you were presenting something quite different. Can you tell a bit more about that?
Yeah, like, what we believe in ISEC, that as a leader, you don't necessarily need to be a manager or a CEO or something like that. But also, you can be a small type of leader, like, for yourself. So we have these four qualities. It's empowering others, solution-oriented, self-aware, and world citizen. So by developing these kind of four different qualities, we kind of, like, through that, we also empower people to become something they want to be and do, like, be a leader in their own life in a way as well. Because if you don't take, like, control of your own life, then how can you help others as well?
So it's more about developing skills which you can then pass on, but you're not necessarily in a formal leadership position.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, my name is Benjamin, and right now I'm at Aarhus University.
You're in the ISEC office, so what do you do there?
Well, I'm a new member, of
yeah.
course, but I am in the ICX team,
mm-hmm.
which means that I have to make sure that we have enough companies that to pair them up with the foreign students.
Yeah. So you're ringing up Danish companies and you're selling them the idea of having these foreign interns.
Exactly.
Yes. And how receptive are they?
Well, it depends on which companies you're calling. But mostly, I think they're very nice, especially because I can call in Danish.
Yes.
That makes a huge difference.
I was thinking that would make a very good advantage. Yeah, it would be a good advantage for you.
It definitely is, yeah.
Yeah. So how do you sell the idea? What are the advantages that you put forward to them?
So, but here in Denmark, we usually go for the advantages that we need a lot of IT experts.
Mm.
And we can get them from out of Europe very easily, and we can get some of the best ones.
Yeah. So what drew you to ISEC? Why you ended up in their office?
One of my friends posted it on Facebook,
mm-hmm.
the opportunity to join ISEC, and then I thought, why not?
Yeah.
Why not go for it?
Yeah. So how long have you been doing it?
Oh, 2 months now.
Yeah. And what do you think the benefits will be for you? Why do you keep on doing it?
Yeah, because I hope I can make a difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And people are very nice.
Mm. That helps. Yeah.
Definitely, definitely. If they were boring, I won't be there. I for sure not. But they're very nice, and the community is cool. The culture is cool. I like it. Well, and especially in Denmark, we have this. You know, Isaac is in 127 countries, right?
Mm.
So and in the other entities, I hear that, for example, let's take Romania.
Mm.
In Isaac of Romania, there's a lot of Romanians joining, but here in Denmark, somehow, it is a gathering of a lot of foreign students.
Mm-hmm.
Which means in the Isaac office, I'm the only Danish person.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm very lucky to have met you then.
Yeah. Oh, you needed a Danish one.
No, but it's nice to have two perspectives.
Yeah, okay, that's right. And since we're so many different cultures, not even, I think we're 8 sitting in there right now, around 8, and not two are from the same country.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And I like that. Yeah. I like that. Because then I can join in and meet a lot of different cultures and people, of course.
Yeah. We often talk in the podcast about culture in your own backyard, and that's just a really good example that often you don't even have to travel to meet other cultures. Yeah. So that's a great example.
Yeah, it is. Really is, yeah.
So, if you're under 30, almost anywhere in the world, you could get yourself a paid internship through ISEC. Now, here on Absolutely Intercultural, we do talk a lot about student exchanges, especially under the European Erasmus Plus programme. But as we've just seen with ISEC, Erasmus is not the only game in town regarding student exchange. And we were delighted when André Günther got in touch, offering to share his experiences as an exchange student in an American high school. So I'm sorry about this, but let's go absolutely high and hear more about how that came about and how it went.
What is the purpose of the podcast? Is that to try and encourage others to follow in your footsteps?
Yeah, encouragement, that's a pretty good word to use. And also education, so that exchange students can understand what they are going through right now and get help with it. Because it was kind of difficult for me at some parts before and during my exchange to like understand everything. And I had to talk with several other exchange students and had to make up my own interpretation of what was happening to me. And so I want to be one more source where you can get information from for people like that with my podcast. Well, the people that I'm targeting are usually people that have already decided that they want to be an exchange student. So they really appreciate what I do. And it helps them because, I mean, that's the aim of my podcast. I want to help people in their process of becoming an exchange student and making their exchange year be a success for them, because exchange years, they can be good for you, but they can also be not and just a waste of money. And I don't want that to happen. So I think that the exchange student appreciate that they get some help from a former exchange student and get explained everything that they are facing.
Okay, so let's go back to your own case. And where did you get the idea from? Were there lots of people in the year above you who were doing it, or how did it happen?
At my school, there was a former exchange student. He already graduated, but he came back to our school. And for our parents, actually, he did an information evening where he was just showing a PowerPoint presentation of his exchange and explaining the whole process. And so my mom was actually really about all of that and thought that would be a great idea for me, and introduced the idea to me, and I loved it.
So you weren't worried about leaving home?
No, not at all.
For such a long period?
And
presumably you didn't go home during the year?
No, I did not.
No, okay. So is it only the US that's on offer, or are there other places too?
Well, that depends on the exchange organization. With AFS, there are for Germans about 50 countries that you can go to, and in the whole worldwide network of AFS there are 60, but some are not choosable for Germans.
Mm-hmm. So does language play a part? I mean, for example, what other countries could you have chosen?
Oh, that is so different. I could have gone to China. I could have gone to somewhere in Southern America. I could have stayed in Europe. I could have gone to Australia. So language is not that big of a part. They usually say it helps to have some ground level, but in the language skills, but you can also just go abroad without without being fluent in the language. Like I had a friend, she went to Thailand and she didn't speak a word of Thai, but it was great for her.
So you decided that you would have this year in another country. What did you think that you were going to get out of it?
Well, personal growth, of course, because I mean, I could already imagine that it would be such a big change, and I hope that I would become more independent, which I did. And of course, the language skills. I mean, I was already fluent in English, but now I'm way better, I would say. And yeah, and the soft skills, of course.
Yeah. So had you visited the US before?
No, I haven't.
Okay, so it was all new. I had the experience that when I went to the US the first time, I sort of felt I knew it because of all the films and so on.
Yeah.
And yet, of course, it was a new country, and I wondered if it was the same for you.
Yeah, it was. And the culture shock at first is not as big as you would imagine it to be, because, I mean, Germany and US were both Western countries with kind of similar cultures. So I thought that the culture shock would be way worse, but it wasn't.
Right. So how easy is it for you to fit into an American high school, having come from Germany? Like, for example, there must have been subjects which were not on your curriculum in Germany that were on the timetable in the US.
Yes. So I think these are two main parts, which I just got to talk about real quick here. First is what you said about the classes and in school, because in America, I had the luck that every student there has, we can choose our own classes. So we can say, I want this class and I want that class. And there were only some classes that I had to take, and all of those I had taken before in Germany. And then I could choose the classes which I was interested in. So I took a sociology class, which we don't have in Germany, but I could take it there. And even though it was on a university level and I was a foreigner, I was best of the class for some extent of the time, because it was just so interesting for me. And then there's also the social part about fitting in. And I think that was pretty easy, since the Americans are very open and don't have a problem getting to know new people. And if you're an extrovert as I am, it should be pretty easy to make friends and get around and fit in.
So what was the status of the year you spent in the US? Was it part of your German education, or was it a sort of icing on the cake?
Yeah, it's. I think the icing on the cake is a pretty good way to call it. And because I went to Germany, it's not that big of an icing to the US, because that's the basic thing to do.
Yeah,
but it's of course still some kind of good feature about my education. Yeah.
So you've in effect added an extra year to your education.
Exactly.
Right. And part of this year is that you stay with a host family.
Yes.
I've interviewed for this podcast an American who came to Denmark on a similar scheme.
Oh.
And she was changing host families. So there was this perception that the host family couldn't cope with a whole year of the same person. And so I'm interested to know, what was the arrangement in the US?
I lived with two host men. So it was a gay family, and we had absolutely no problem. I didn't have to switch host families or anything, because that usually in an AFS year only happens if there are problems, and there were no real problems between the three of us. So I stayed with them.
And so had they done this before?
No, was it I was their first one. But we had friends who already hosted their seventh exchange student.
Wow.
So right. they already got the gist of it by being with their friends.
How did that go then, fitting in with the host family?
I think that is a very personal thing for every exchange student, because it depends on how you work in a family. And I'm a person that does not have a problem with following rules. So when my host parents said, this is a rule, I said, okay. And I accepted it and I wouldn't break it. And I know that German exchange students as well like to kind of test out the limits and break a rule here, break a rule there. And I think that with my family, that wouldn't have worked so well. So it's always kind of different how that works out with the family, depending on how you work together as a family.
Yeah, that's interesting. I remember with the American exchange student who came to Denmark, one of the things that hit her was that she was not allowed to drive in Denmark because I think she was 17.
Yeah.
And in the US, she had her driving license. And in Denmark, all she could do was use a bicycle.
Yeah.
So I guess there are things like that.
And the thing is, I went to the US when I was 16. So I was already allowed to drink alcohol in Germany.
Mm.
And I wasn't there. And it wasn't that big of a problem for me since I'm not that much of an alcoholic. But... but everyone was so freaking out when they heard that they could drink when they were 16 in Germany. And that was a really funny thing.
Okay, so there were differences.
Yes.
Now, if you'd like to know more, André has started his own podcast called The Foreigner Podcast to try and encourage more high school students to take advantage of the opportunity with AFS, the organization that organized his trip and that he's now volunteering for. So just add .com to the name The Foreigner Podcast and you'll get there. But as usual, we include all the relevant links on our blog at www.absolutely-intercultural.com. I think this show has included two very important guidelines for interculturalists. Firstly, André's open motto.
Eyes open, ears open, hearts open.
And secondly, ISEC's leadership as empowering others mission. Why not do what André did and contact us on our Facebook page to take part in the podcast? But a simple like will do, as will some ratings on our iTunes page. The next show will be coming to you from Germany on December the 1st with Laurent Borgmann, so stay tuned.
Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tvärkulturell.
Absolut interkulturalisch.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.